I'm Brittany.
And I'm Heather.
Welcome to OKS Moms, the podcast.
A place to be more than just mom.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of OKS Moms, the podcast. Brittany here.
And Heather, hello.
Hi, it's just us today, which hasn't happened in a while.
It's been a while. Well, it's just us plus our new four-legged friends in each of our houses.
Right, exactly. Why don't you tell the people the mistake you made?
So we have an episode, it's a ways back, about pets, and how we talked about how neither of us are like really huge animal people. And at the time, we had both just recently lost our like longtime beloved family dogs. And it was just like, we're good for a while. And it really didn't take very long for all of that to change. So if you follow us on Instagram, you've seen that there is a new family member in my house. His name is Murphy. He is a half Labradoodle, half Golden Doodle. And I feel like I was cuckolded by my family. I was very outspoken about how much I did not want a dog, and especially a puppy, because I had just gotten all of my puppies into school on the same schedule full time. And I had like dedicated time every day to do anything other than take care of another thing. And I subbed for 2 weeks straight at my kid's school, and which was already like an anomaly in our schedule. And I was very distracted, like caught up in the whole excitement of it all, because everybody got very excited because it was a brand new puppy and it was fun and cool. And the excitement is quickly worn off. And who's here stuck with him while he shits in the house again just to be a dick? That would be me, because everybody else is gone.
Yeah. I knew as soon as you sent me that picture, I was like, oh shit, here we go.
I know. And that's the problem, is he's really cute, but he's not cute enough for me to like him, because here's the thing, is that he's half poodle. And I don't feel like that was emphasized enough to us. I think we heard, because our last dog was half lab, half golden retriever, and he was the best dog. And I knew it was like the first baby, like the first angel baby. And then the second one comes along and like just ruins everything you've ever thought about life. And that's exactly what's happened. And so I feel like we just thought her like, oh, golden and lab, like it'll be great. And we didn't really, like, it really didn't hit me until we got home. It was like, oh, he's 50% poodle. And I don't have a ton of experience with poodles, but all of them have just been like, they're just assholes. And like, he's very mischievous, and he's not the kind of dog who's like tired out just by going on a really long walk. Like, he still wants to get up on the counter and like just to see what's happening. And he wants to like, you're not going to pay attention to me, I'll just go grab this sock. He has already ripped up my slippers. I will say that was not on my watch. That was AJ and I went up for dinner on my birthday, and that was on my mom's watch. So I'm not going to take credit for that one. But like, he's just, if no one's looking at him and telling him how beautiful he is, like a poodle, then he goes and finds something to get into. And it's just, it's like a newborn and a toddler mixed in one. And I don't want a toddler or a newborn separately, let alone together. And I don't want this anymore.
The reason you didn't have a third child.
Exactly. Like, nothing has driven that fact home to me. And honestly, like, I know this sounds so ridiculous to say, but I'm having like PTSD flashbacks of when I had like two under two and like brand new baby. It's like everything's on fire, and no matter what I do, I can't rein this chaos in and make it work. Because that's the other problem too, is when last time we had a puppy, we were newlyweds who had nothing but time to dote and train on a puppy. And it just, we don't have that now. And now there are two kids who don't really know how to train a puppy. And that's a whole other level of chaos. And it's just, it's a lot. And my mental health is suffering greatly. And I know that sounds, I know all the dog people are going to say that's crazy, but that my cup is not filled by a furry creature.
That's fair. I mean, not everybody is a dog person. That is fair.
Well, it would be really great if the dog people in my family could be here to be the dog people they want to be.
Right.
But that's not how things work. So, you know, here we are. We're making the best of it. We are. I'm looking into doggy daycares, which sounds so ridiculous because I never paid for daycare for my children, no matter how overwhelmed I was. But apparently I'll pay for it for a dog. But also, doggy daycare is $25 a day, and child human daycare is a lot more expensive. So
that's much more affordable than I thought.
Yeah, which is like a whole other conversation. But, you know, so I don't know. We're exploring some options. I'm losing my shit, and it's not a good time over here. It's taken me back to a dark place that I don't want to be in.
Are you going to be okay? Do I need to come over?
You can come over and take this fucking dog. That's what you can do.
Well, I don't think my three cats would appreciate that, because yes, now we have three cats.
And that's it. Sorry, I'm not to bring it back to me, but that is the other thing, because we do have a cat ourselves who is very perturbed by this whole situation. And here we go a couple days now without seeing him because he's so pissed that there's a dog in our house. So it's not just me.
No, I don't blame him.
All right, I'm sorry. Go back to your cats. And your herd of cats now have.
I just feel like I need to reiterate. We have three cats now.
That's so many cats.
So many. It's like when you go from two to three, you really feel crazy telling people.
Two is like manageable because it's like they chat, like it's like their like little cat buddy.
Right.
But three is like, it feels like saying you have three kids. Like two is like, okay. But three or more. Yeah. Three or more is not socially acceptable usually.
Listen, we got this third cat under duress. Just to make a long story short, my husband's grandmother, she's 84. She lives alone. She thought she wanted a cat. We went through a painstaking, like terrible, awful, hard process to get her a cat. And a week later, she called and said, "This isn't what I thought it would be. I don't want this cat." And so we felt bad. And so we took the cat. The cat is, her name is Fran, like the nanny. And she is 5 years old. And she comes in here with our under 1 year old cats. And she hated life at first. She is warming up. She still hisses at Ferguson a lot, but because he's just a happy-go-lucky guy and just wants to play. And she's an old woman and does not. But it's been fine. I don't want to jinx it, but having two litter boxes isn't great. But I mean, I don't know. It just is what it is. My kids are thrilled. They would like a fourth cat now. But
oh God, that's too much. Where we're going to have an intervention.
Don't worry. It's not going to happen. But yeah, so we are the people who have three cats.
Well, and I guess I just forgot like how much space another animal in the house occupies.
Yeah.
And maybe these are things that you don't notice if you like just really love having them around, and like you accept that there's now a giant crate in your living room, or you accept that there's another litter box taking up space in your home. But I don't know if I can open my heart for these things.
I feel like it's hard because you took a break in between. Like, you know what I mean? Like when you go for a while without an animal and then suddenly all the stuff is back, you're like,
yeah, yeah. And it's just now like that space where those things used to be has now been repurposed for other things. And like now we have baby gates in our house and that with like I just got rid of. And I don't know. I knew it was going to be a monumental shift in my day-to-day life. And I think I had my rose-colored glasses, my dink, full night of sleep, young energy glasses, remembering the last time we had a puppy. And it's just, it's not that. But I will say I'm doing my very, very best to put on my positive outlook hat, which is not easy for me. He hasn't had all his shots, so what? He technically isn't supposed to be out in the world, and we're taking him on walks. Did I tell you I went to the vet to get like established with our vet with him and like get him his shot? Like there was the whole confusion with the shot records and like got pushed off a week. Anyways, I'm standing there with a 15-week-old puppy in the middle of the vet's office. So, you know, like everyone's coming in and out. The vet has a cat that like lives at the vet. So there's a cat roaming around. Like it's just pure chaos. And they're reading me like my Miranda rights of like owning a dog, because they're like, well, technically he shouldn't even be on the floor right now. And I go, I'm sorry, what?
I hold this dog. Like, he's a lanky motherfucker.
I was like, and they couldn't see over the counter because it's a really tall counter. So I looked down at him and I'm just like, well, technically he's levitating right now. Like, what do you want me to do? I have to come in here to get him the shot. But then you want to tell me like that even your office isn't safe to take. So long story short, we're taking him on walks. That's not a thing. They're like, you really shouldn't even be out in the neighborhood. But so listen, bitch, are you going to come? I can't with the dog people. That was just so over the top that like almost shaming me that I was letting my dog walk on the floor of the vet office where I have to go to get him the shot so that he could walk on the floor of the vet office. It's just, it's too much. It's too much. So anyways,
we can have a whole episode about this.
I'm hoping once he gets a shot and we can like take him to the dog park and like get more of this, because he needs that like socialization, I think, to tire him out. So what I'm hoping it's going to get better. Dogs grow out of it much faster than children do. So I'm deep breaths,
but you can do it.
If he keeps barking at 5 a.m. every day, I don't know. It's all good.
Oh yeah, maybe you need earplugs.
Something.
All right, well, let's shift from pet stress to holiday stress after this quick break. We've all heard the research on how learning a second language is good for a child's cognitive development, but that can feel overwhelming for busy parents who only speak one language. Of course, we want to expose our children to everything, but knowing where to start can be a challenge. Enter our new podcast sponsor, FepiBox.
FepiBox is a monthly subscription box designed for children 3 to 6 to learn Spanish in a fun, interactive way. Fepi's philosophy is learning by immersion, exposing the kids to Spanish and English through original books, music, and play. And don't worry, parents don't have to be bilingual to help their kids learn Spanish with Fepi.
Each monthly box includes a game, song, and a new Fepi book, an exclusive video audiobook that can be used for pronunciation support and hours of entertainment, listening, and watching in two languages.
We've heard from so many of you that you value experience gifts over another loud, colorful toy, and Fepi Box is just that. To purchase a Fepi Box subscription, go to fepibox.com, and OKS Moms listeners can use code OKSMOM20 for 20% off your first box in your subscription. That's Fepi Box, FEPPY, box.com, and code OKSMOM20 for 20% off your first box in your subscription.
And we're back. Okay. So back in the summertime at some point, I did a reel about something in parenthood that always makes me roll my eyes. I can't even remember what the song was or the trend was, and it was that you only get 18 summers with your kids. I think that's bullshit. You have many more summers after that. It's not like, I think it's just another way to make moms feel guilty that they're not doing enough. And so that's where this episode idea came from.
And I think where it starts, like the root of this idea of like you only get 18 summers, is that you do have such a brief amount of time for like the holiday magic, which I get because, you know, very quickly they stop believing in Santa, or they don't want to go look at Christmas lights with you, or like do all those things that were so much fun and like brought them so alive. Because it is a lot of fun to see your kids be so excited by things. But so I get where it's coming from. But also, like, that's okay that you only get 18. Because if I had to do this for 36 holiday seasons, I would lose it. That's a lot. And I think there's a lot of beauty and joy in those traditions and life evolving. And also, you have, most people have more than one child. And so you don't just get the 18, you get the 18 times whatever. So,
yeah, no, totally. And you're right when you say that the holiday magic is, there is a timeline on it. I get that. But I think there's also, especially if you have another kid, there's also this other type of magic that can come along. Like if one kid's believing and one isn't, and the way you bring them into the fold with that, I think there's other special ways to recreate that magic.
For sure. And I think it's just one of those statements, and there's so many of them like this in society, I guess, as it pertains to moms, that are just so black and white. There's like no nuance in anything anymore. And it's just, this is all you get, so you better make the most of it. And other moms are the absolute root cause of this. We are the reason why this is perpetuated. I was at the store.
No. Patriarchy.
Well, yes. But I was at the store the other day. I had taken the kids to go get their flu shots, and I had to fill out a bunch of paperwork, and my kids are literally climbing the pallets at Costco, like just being absolutely insane. And I'm like, just sit down on those chairs and let me finish this, and then I can be there to entertain you. Just like, just chill. And the woman who is probably, she said she had kids in their early 20s, so I don't know, whatever age that would be. It's just, oh, it is just such the best time. And I looked at her as my kids are like literally like break dancing in the middle of the aisle as people with their giant Costco carts are like putting on the emergency brake not to run them over. I'm just like, yeah, but also like, are you seeing this? And like it, she was very much, and this is probably me drawing some conclusions about her, but she was also very much the type of woman who would like shun that behavior of a child in public in any other situation. Like if she wasn't having her little nostalgic moment, she would absolutely be the kid or the parent walking by like side-eyeing your child. So I'm like, you know, lady, you really can't have this both ways. And and I will say I am starting to feel this, that twinge a little bit at 6 and 8, that it's like, oh, like, you know, we're growing out of some of our like Christmas books that we've always read every year, or like whatever it is. And it's like, oh, like that chapter's closed. And like, there is a bit of nostalgia in that, but also there's like, that's fine. Like this has to end at some point, and that's okay.
Yeah. I definitely feel that too. I am having a really hard time like getting into the holiday spirit. It's what, the beginning of November. I feel like usually my wheels are already turning about what I want to get the boys, or like what I want to do for like our decorations or buying new decorations. And I don't know. I feel like I can't get there yet. I don't know what the problem is.
Is it like it's just too early in the season, or what do you think?
Yeah, I kind of felt like this with Halloween too. I don't know if I'm just burnt the fuck out, or like it took me like a week before Halloween before I put a decoration inside my house. But I think it's just all of it. Like the past 2 years have been a bit overboard in terms of holiday stuff because I was feeling like we had so much to make up for, or like I was just excited to be doing things again. I don't know what it was, but and now it's just kind of like, here we go again, which is such a Debbie Downer outlook. I'm usually so excited.
Well, I just remember last year. So my birthday is the day before Halloween. And I just remember last year, once it was my birthday, I felt like it was go, 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 nonstop until New Year's. And now, or like when the kids went back to school after winter break. And so now I feel like I'm expecting it to be that way again. And so now I'm instantly dreading this period of time because I don't want to do all those things. And I think I'm also coming off of, like, October was really busy, busier than I ever remember it. And maybe that is because the last couple of Octobers have been different and not insane. Mm-hmm. But I just feel like everything is a disaster in my house and needs my attention, like, immediately. Like, my pantry is so disorganized and I don't have the time to pull everything out and, like, reorganize it like it really needs. Because I don't have 2 hours in a day to do that because I have so many other things that need my attention right now. And the thought of putting holiday shit on top of that is just like, no, I don't want to. No, thank you.
Yeah. So this is our PSA that we're just canceling the holidays. That's up to us, right?
Yeah. I think so. I mean, but to a certain extent, it is up to us what happens and what doesn't. And Although I will say this is the first holiday season where I feel like I have had the wherewithal to actually plan ahead and wonder, like, okay, let's pick which holiday activities we want to do and make sure we buy the tickets for that before they sell out, or like asking the kids, like, what activity do you want? Like, they have input this year where they haven't necessarily in years past. And so I do feel like we have a good, like, outline of our holiday season, mm-hmm. and all of the activities we want to do. But that's something I couldn't have done in years past because I just didn't have the energy to do it.
Yeah, for sure. I feel like maybe that's where I'm at. Like, right now it's time to decide what is important to us this year and the things that we definitely want to get done and the things we're going to let go of. Like, for example, up to this point, I've been thinking, I'm not going to do family photos this year. I'm not going to do Christmas cards. And then it occurred to me this morning, like, this is our first Christmas in our new house. I need to send out Christmas cards so everybody has our new address. Like, so there are some things like that where it's like it kind of an obligation. And I thought I was going to have like a little reprieve from that this year that I'm like, fuck, now it's another thing I got to get done, you know?
I know. And that's what I think it's so easy when people are like, if holiday cards aren't important, you just don't send them out. And it's like, well, there are varying degrees of importance,
yeah,
on things. And just because it's not like top importance doesn't mean it's not important to me at all. It just means that. And I guess that's just, I mean, every choice has some consequence to a degree. So, like, I guess that's just the consequence of the choice of not doing it, is that you do have to miss out on something. But
yeah,
it's really hard.
I know. So I am we're not going to do family photos, but I'm just going to use photos from the year. And that's what it's going to be for this year.
Yeah, I made a similar choice. So in 2020, we didn't do family photos because it just seemed like it was just too much.
Dumpster fire.
And I felt like I was okay with that because it was just so much. And then I started seeing everybody else's pictures and getting their cards. And I was like, it wasn't even that so much. It was that I went to go print pictures for something like after the holiday had passed, and then realized we didn't have a family photo that year. And I can't remember what this, it must've been something for school, 'cause you know, kids always need pictures of their family for school. But I had gone and looked back at pictures, like the whole, because we'd done pictures every single year up until that point. And I have every single year and like saw the kids like grow. And then I got really sad that we didn't do it that year. And I was so mad at myself. So then in 2021, I was like, we are doing pictures. I don't care if everybody has COVID, the photographer gets us sick, like we're taking these damn pictures. And then it came time to like pick out outfits and I hated what everybody had. And then we were like running around screaming at each other, getting ready to go to pictures. And then I was just like, you know what? What? Oh, that's right. That's why I didn't want to do this. So I've made this decision in my head that we're just going to do it every other year, because I feel like that's, I mean, we walk around with cameras in our hands all day long. I have enough pictures of the kids. Like it's, they're there. Like obviously the professional ones are better and everybody's in them and they're cuter and blah, blah, blah. But that we do not want for pictures of these children. They are there for the taking.
Exactly.
So I feel like every other is a good compromise this year.
Yeah, I like that. Cool. I'm stealing that. Thanks. How are you feeling about your, both your kids are still believers?
They are. And I'm worried it's going to change soon, but honestly, at this point, I think Nolan would figure it out before I did. yeah. So, and that actually puts an extra added layer of stress this year for me, because I feel like this might be the last year. So I feel like we have to lay it on thick, and we have like a very strict Santa policy in our house. Like he doesn't bring the good shit. He brings you like very small, dumb stuff, and like you still mostly within reason get everything you want. But like the credit comes from me because I did everything.
Hell yeah.
And, but now I'm like, maybe we don't, like maybe we milk it for another year and like let Santa get the glory, because maybe that buys us another year. But then it's like, for what? Why? Because then we can trick our children for another year. I don't
Yeah,
I don't know. But I think for me, it's more the like activities, because like we go to the tree lighting downtown and Santa's always there. And like it's, so it's more of like seeing Santa and like doing Santa things and all of the Christmas activities that I want to hold on to more than the actual like gift giving part of Santa.
Yeah, no, I get that. For us, Harrison, if you have been a longtime listener, figured out the big lie during November of last year. So it was a little bit heartbreaking that it was right before Christmas. I thought we would get one more, squeak out one more year, but
God, there were a lot of big lies being uncovered last November.
There were. And he, but I alluded to this earlier, that the magic can still happen because he has been so great in keeping the magic alive for Sullivan. Like even we actually had a little scare last week where Sully was like, okay, Mom, just tell me, is Santa real? And I said, okay, do you want to have this talk? And he goes, nope, I don't. So I think he's like right there, but he wants to keep it alive himself, which just breaks my heart. Because all those little assholes in third grade are running around just spouting off at the mouth. But then Harrison pulled me aside after and was like, we're still going to do the elf, right? Yes, we are going to do the elf. So
the elf.
Right.
I forgot about the elf.
Your kids are going to do the elf, though, because maybe you could.
Oh, of course they do. I got to figure out where I hid that stupid thing.
Oh, yeah. I have no idea where ours is. Hopefully Tyler knows.
That's one of those things where it's like, it's dumb and it's annoying to me and it's one more thing to do. But then you see how excited they get. And it's like, okay, I can do it. I can do it for another year. But that's how they get you. That's how they are with everything.
Side note, in the Target dollar section, there were like these little, I don't know what it was, like a little lemonade stand pre-made for the elf to like sit in. There was like a couple different ones that I grabbed. I'm like, oh, this will make it easy.
So technically the elf has been delegated to AJ.
Great.
But I don't know. We'll see. If I happen to see them, maybe I'll grab them. I think that's just what makes all of keeping all these traditions alive hard, is that life is still happening in all of November and all of December, and then you have to do all this other stuff on top of it. Like, lunches still need to be made, and the elf has to be moved. Like, making lunches right. is hard enough without moving an elf. And now, to call back to the intro, now we have a puppy on top of it. So it just all feels like a lot. But that's one thing. Our friends Megan and Wendy over at the Long Story Short podcast, they were talking about they were going to stock up and fill their pantry on all like the staple things, so it was one less thing to have to do, which I loved, because that's one way that you can, like, you can cut down on the last minute trips to the store, last minute deliveries or whatever it is, by just doing that. Like, I can't, no matter what I do, I can't stop the laundry loads that need to be done. But like, that's one simple way that I can like manage regular life so that I can manage holiday life.
Oh, I like that a lot. That's a good idea. How are you dealing with the extended family of it all? The family drama piece, because that's one thing that's really given me a little pause.
Yeah, it's been a nice little buffer the last couple of years to play the COVID card. Not that we were playing the COVID card, like obviously that was a very real thing, but this is kind of our first year in a while back into the mix of everything. And I mean, we've paid the social cost of that, but that's another episode for another day.
Yeah. Different episode.
So we're making more of an effort to make it to include family members on all the other little holiday activities. And so it's not just so much pressure on one day. TBD on if that actually works or not, but
ooh, I like the idea of it though.
Yeah. So that I am kind of sad because the last 2 years we've done Thanksgiving, the four of us at our house, and it's been so nice. And I understand that that is still within my power to do that again and to make that choice for my family. But it does kind of feel like there is some excitement of being able to like be all together again and wanting to do that. So I think it's okay if you're stuck wanting both of those things, like loving your small little intimate holiday with just your immediate family, but then also wanting to, and I think it's okay. You can dip back and forth every year. You don't have to do the same thing every single year. That could be
like an every other year thing.
Maybe. This year we're doing holiday cards and the giant Thanksgiving feast. Next year, you're not going to see us, but look at this holiday card.
Oh, yeah, I'm feeling that too. I mean, by and large, my family's pretty spread out. Our families are pretty spread out. And so it's not as much of a like stressor as far as like holiday obligations. But there's still always that like, oh, we should fly to Texas or we should fly to Virginia and spend the holidays with family. But I don't know. It seems like a lot.
Traveling on a holiday, especially this year, like after the chaos of traveling, air travel over the summer, I can't imagine it's going to get better over the holidays. So I
No, no, God, no.
Yeah. And the thing that complicates it the most is that neither side of our family really like kind of keep an eye on the future. Like it'll be like the Tuesday before one eye
toward the sky.
It'll be like the Tuesday before Thanksgiving. They'll be like, hey, so like what are your plans? It's like, you know, I've been trying the last like month to get you to talk about this. So like I guess now you're ready to solidify it. Okay, great.
Firm it up.
So that can be frustrating, but you know, there's, as our families are growing and siblings are having babies and, you know, like getting married and things like that, it gets harder to like move every, you know, like plan a day for everybody. I get, but you're like, I am a strong proponent for like, let's do a feast on a Friday. And so yeah. It, can we, like, it doesn't have to be on that day, but
nobody else. I highly recommend that. As someone whose husband is in retail, we've had to do that many times and it's fine. It's fine. It doesn't need to be on the day.
No. Yeah. It's nobody like comes around and checks to make sure if you're celebrating on the right day. It's fine.
The American police.
Yeah, well, I mean, as of right now, no one's doing that.
Patriots. So how do you do, sorry, I interrupted you. How do you do your holiday shopping?
So here's what happens. Every year I say we're going to do the four things for the kids. The like something to wear, something to read, something they want, something they need, or whatever the little cutesy saying is. Every year, and I'm like, that's what we're doing. And then it never fails. And then I do like stocking stuffers too. And it never fails. Like every December 22nd, I like go to Wrap Stop and like, fuck, we have nothing for these children, which is not true. And they don't need anything and like they should be fine, but it's just I feel this like tug of we can do more so we should, and then I panic and go buy a bunch of shit at Target.
I love that and I try to stick to it too, but the shit my kids want now, it's expensive. Like there's crazy amounts of like I don't know, electronic, I don't even know what they want right now, but it's, I'm like, how do I do this with big kids? It's just,
it's hard. It's hard. You wrap up the socks in one package and then you wrap up like the underwear in the other package and just make it look like there's more than there really is. Well, and then on top of that, AJ decides usually like mid-December that he wants to also get in on the like gift idea game. Oh. And then so he'll come in with like all these packages will just start showing up. He's like, yeah, I got this for the kids. Isn't that cool? And it's like, yeah, bitch, it is cool. But look at all this other shit. I already bought them. And it never felt like when we'll go over like, this is what we're getting. This one, this what this one's getting. And like, so he does it too. So then it's like both of us are doing it. And it's, and then the grandparents just do what grandparents do. And then every December 26th, I have a little mentee bee and like throw everything away and pack up Christmas decorations because I just like can't take all the clutter. And so, you know, it's another one of those things I say every year, we're not doing this. And then every year I do it.
Never fails. I know. I get it. Going back to the husband in retail, he's walking down the toy aisles all the fucking time. Not a good thing.
And I don't know if you know this, but the last couple of years he'll send me pictures of stuff.
It's like, hey,
do your kids want this? I'm like, no, Tyler, no, they don't. They probably do, but I'm not doing it. No.
Oh my god. He's the king of the toy aisle, I'll tell you.
I appreciate the heads up, but we're good. And I think this kind of goes back to the 18 holiday seasons idea is that it just puts more pressure to do it perfectly every year because we've rattled off several ways that like we set the best of intentions every year and that never pans out. And so I think you have to just admit that you're never going to have a perfect holiday season. Someone's probably going to be crying on Christmas morning, no matter what you
probably
do.
Probably me.
It's usually me. And like, you're never going to hit every event. You're never going to get the presents just right. You're never going to make every family member happy. Like, it's just, you get 18 seasons to try and try and try again. You're never going to do it. So just do the best you can.
Give yourself grace.
Yeah. Stupidest answer.
I know.
How about these kids start giving me some grace that instead, so our city does this thing. It's like the neighborhood Santa, and where
fuck that guy.
One night a week, they pick a different neighborhood around the city, and you either get him on a fire truck or being pulled on a trailer bed in an airplane.
The worst.
And he never comes down your actual street. So you like, in, at least in our neighborhood. So you have to like travel at dinner time across your neighborhood when it's pitch black and freezing cold. And it just, I don't know where I was going with that, but there are just some things that I really, really hate about the holiday season.
We're not doing that this year.
And Neighborhood Santa is one of them. And, but I hate it, but everybody else loves it. And so, and then they, you know, we're outside in the streets and they see their friends from school. And it's like this, it has fun moments. And that I need to focus on the fun moments. Not that I had to leave my warm dinner on the table because Santa was coming and we had to race out the door. And now everyone's in bed late and I missed out on my time, and all because Santa came by in a fucking airplane. So these are the things I'm going to try and focus on. Of these are the fun moments. Yes, it might have meant a later bedtime. Yes, it might have meant a change in schedule or whatever. But my kids are older now, and that's not the end of the world. And it's only, so in that perspective, I do like that you only get 18 holidays mentality, because in a very few short years,
date.
Yes, exactly. There's an expiration date on it. So in a few short years, my kids aren't going to give a shit that Santa's driving by in a fire truck. But they do right now, and that's what I want to capture, and those are the memories I want, not that I didn't get to eat my dinner.
I don't know.
But you know what? Be careful with that attitude, because that's how I ended up with a puppy, so, you know, it's not always about them.
Yeah. Stay vigilant.
What is your final takeaway from the 18 holiday seasons mentality?
I think largely we can agree as moms together collectively that yes, everybody should just do what works for them, what works for their family. And in practice, that's very hard for me, because if I see somebody doing something else, I'm always like, oh, we should be doing that too. So it's very personal, but I'm just going to try to like stay in my lane this year and really, really try to reflect on what's important to us. And you know what I'm going to do? Ask my kids what's important to them. Because if we hit all those points and we get to let go of the rest of the shit, wonderful.
Exactly. And you know what? Put it in a note on your phone for next year. Like if you find something that you forgot about. Because I mean, we've been out of the holiday event game for a few years now. And so I'm sure, I know there's things I'm forgetting about. And I'm going to see them and go, damn it, I wanted to do that too. But you know what? Just save it for next year. It will be there.
We're not through our 18 summers yet.
Exactly.
Winters, whatever.
Also, I feel like it's worth mentioning that stop what you're doing right now and go look at your kids' school calendar, because our kids are out for nearly 3 weeks this year.
They don't go back to the second week of January.
And they have the Thursday, Friday before Christmas off. And so just, that is my last tip for all of you listening. Just start.
Don't be surprised. Don't
just start wrapping your head around that. Because AJ and I had a conversation last night. I was like, listen, this is the winter break schedule. What are you doing about this? Because I'm not going to be the only one in charge of these kids for 3 weeks straight. And like, he does have some holidays mixed in there. So like he is off and like weekends and stuff, but I no, these are your children too. And I am not taking them on in the dead of winter.
Just send them to doggy daycare.
Honestly, they'd love that. So I just, you know, that will knock you off you only get 18 holiday seasons high horse real quick to remember that they're going to be home for 3 weeks. And there is nothing harder than entertaining a child home on break in the days leading up to a holiday. Literally nothing. So
Oh, I have to go take a Xanax. All right. Well, thank you for listening. If you have a minute, we would love if you would rate and review the podcast. It really helps us get found by other like-minded listeners, and we would just love you forever. We'll see you next time.
If you like what you just heard, and we hope you do, you can find more of us online at www.okayestmoms.com. We're also on all social media platforms, Pinterest, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, at Okayest Moms Blog. Or if you want to, you can send us an email at hey@okayestmoms.com.